It's time for Talking Automotive with VACC. Here's Dennis Walter with Jeff Gwillim, CEO of VACC.
Jeff Gwillim, good evening to you.
Dennis, good evening.
Can I ask a question straight up?
Of course you can.
As a motorist, can why are some service stations calling 95 premium?
Because in their service station, it may be premium. Now, my vehicle takes 95. Some service stations don't have 95, so there's not a law about calling it premium.
Okay.
The only real thing is the rate of the fuel that's on the pump.
Right. So what's the difference then between what we sort of standard know as premium 98?
Well, I think that is premium, but it depends what's in that service station, whether they've got 98.
Usually it's premium 98, but I just noticed at one that it wasn't, but the fuel's been fantastic, so no complaints from me. If you have any questions about the car industry, about your day-to-day drive, car safety, or going to your local mechanic, 9600 693 or 131332, the Vic Community Panel has recommended the end of new petrol and diesel cars by 2030. That's only 9 years away. Is this a good... It's obviously, look, it probably is a good idea long term, but is it hard to put a time frame on this?
I think it is, Dennis. Around the world, different governments have put time frames on, and some of them started at 2035 and have moved back to 2030. I think we have to remember, though, that most governments that make a statement about changing any government policy that's 10 years out possibly means that they won't be in government, or certainly the leader at the time won't be in government. So they're aspirational. I think when we make a statement, and that this was a community panel made up of 211 people drawn from all across the community, which is, you know, there's something to be said about that. Their recommendation around the end of ICE, the internal combustion engines by 2030, you've got to take into consideration a lot of things. Right now, today, I can go and buy a relatively cheap vehicle and drive it around, take my kids to school, go shopping, go to the hospital, all the things you need to do. If you push a whole community over to electric vehicles and there isn't enough of those vehicles in the market, particularly second-hand vehicles, you're really going to compromise a whole lot of people that can't get into those vehicles because they just can't afford them. So one of the, if you want to look this way, one of the benefits of the market that we've got at the moment is you've got new, old, expensive, cheap. You know, you've got a whole range of different vehicles that people can really make a, you know, pick where they want to sit and fit into that segment. Unless electric vehicles came down significantly, and they are coming down in price every year, they come down a bit further. My concern is marginalising a whole lot of people that for various reasons don't have enough money to go and buy an electric vehicle. The other market, that internal combustion engine market, will start to disappear. We scrap around 400,000 vehicles a year, which means you take 400,000 vehicles out of the vehicle fleet every year, which means that petrol and diesel market, second-hand vehicle market, gets small pretty quickly.
Are there some concerns among potential buyers that they might be penalised for buying an electric car? In other words, having to pay for their Ks and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, Dennis, where people have, you know, been encouraged one way or another to go into an electric car. There is a paper that's being created and promoted by government talking about the 2.5 cents a kilometre for electric and hybrid. And it can look like a disincentive. What I'm more concerned about is that's a state tax. The feds bring in $11 billion from fuel excise every year, and they'll start to look around to see where they can recover some of that. So, you know, it's not overly helpful where the states pull away and start to create electric vehicle charging policies independently. What we don't want to see is the federal government coming over the top of a 2.5 cents a litre and add a few more into that for a federal government charge and have it collected differently. That's going to be really problematic for consumers.
Martin, good evening to you.
Good evening, gentlemen. I just Martin. Would like to know why certain manufacturers don't fit a spare tyre to their car.
Lots of reasons. It's cheaper and lighter if they don't have one. There's a lot of vehicles now that have got run flats, which are tyres, but you can still drive that tyre when it's got a puncture in it. But if you take, it's taken the weight out and it's taken the cost out. And I think it's important that consumers understand that, you know, when manufacturers look to take costs out of cars, often there are things that can, well, surprise you, i.e. where's my spare wheel? They often have these little tiny things to get you out of trouble, but they're lighter than just a normal spare wheel anyway.
I think there'll be a lot of people, Martin and Jeff, who lift up that bit of carpet in the boot and go, what the hell's that? Because they look so much different.
Yeah, they're okay to get you out of trouble. They've normally got an orange rim on them, a little tiny thin tyre and wheel. They'll get you out of trouble, but again, they're lighter. And there was some research done some time ago, Dennis. I haven't got the detail in front of me about how much fuel you used over the life of a car carrying a spare wheel around, and it was significant. You don't think about it, but they're pretty heavy.
Yes, they are.
You're basically towing that thing around every single time you start that engine.
96900693 or 13 13 32 through Regional Victoria and the Ace Radio Network. Give us a call if you've got any questions about your everyday drive. 96900693 or 13 13 32. Back shortly. 4 to 10 on 3RW Breakfast this morning, Jeff. You may have caught up with this, but there's an Adelaide-built electric ute with a price tag of around $26,000. Cost about $3.60 per 100 Ks. Breakfast was told with Stephen and Emily filling in for Ross and Russell. The Ace Ute, have you caught up on this?
And now, somebody mentioned this to me today because there are very few electric utes. I haven't had a look at it, but that's a big breakthrough. 50% of all vehicles sold in Australia now are SUVs and utes. They're mixed in. If they can get good electric into utes and commercial vehicles. We know they're working on big commercial vehicles and what they call city trucks. Somebody told me about it today, but I hadn't seen it beforehand, but that's a big breakthrough. I need to mention something, though,
yep.
Dennis. It's the actual charge stations that are the challenge.
Of course, the infrastructure.
Absolutely. So if you know that you can stop your vehicle, let's say every hour and a half, and get a booster charge within, you know, under a few minutes, you can have a smaller vehicle on that, a smaller battery on that vehicle. The vehicle gets cheaper, but you know that you can stop. So the secret in the future is to have batteries that you can, smaller batteries, but enough charging infrastructure to make sure that I can get from here to Mildura. And I don't, we used to have, you know, it used to be range anxiety, and maybe it's the same thing. Nowadays, it's charging infrastructure. And if there's any, by the way, one of the outcomes in this study, the community panel, talked about government supporting infrastructure for electric vehicles. And I think it's probably the single most important thing we can do. I'm not a big supporter of subsidising vehicles anyway, because it distorts the market. But making sure the infrastructure's there, so if somebody invests in an electric vehicle, they know they can get up to regional areas and back. And even if they have to charge once or twice, that's fine, as long as they don't have to spend 20 minutes doing it.
If anyone wants more information on the Ace Ute, that's Y-E-W-T, just go to 3rw.com.au. Bruno has emailed Jeff. Hi, guys. 1 million new vehicles sold every year in Australia. If a $10 surcharge was applied per vehicle, we'd have $10 million for driver training at no cost to the government. Why doesn't it happen? Now, Bruno is a driving instructor.
Yes, I hear that, and that's a great idea if you're a driving instructor. Look, I think the view is that if people have already got they've passed a driving test, you know, why would they be charged to allow other people to do the same? I like the idea, but I think traditionally people have, if you want to drive a vehicle or a truck, you need to go and get trained in it. You need to, you know, fund that yourself.
Jeff Quillam is the CEO of the VACC. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Dennis. Have a good week, mate.
I will do my best. A Generation Gap with Laura V coming up. We're going to have a look inside Laura's pantry. And that story about that electric ute, it's fascinating. It's up at 3rw.com.au. Keep the emails coming, nights at 3rw.com.au.